God, as we receive your word through your Holy Spirit, open our eyes to your justice, open our ears to your judgment, open our hearts to your love. Amen. The first scripture reading today is from Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 9 through 14. This is Moses speaking to the people. The Lord your God will help you succeed in everything you do, in your own fertility, your livestock's offspring, and your land's produce. Everything will be great, because the Lord will once again enjoy doing good things for you, just as he enjoyed doing them for your ancestors, and because you will be obeying the Lord your God's voice, keeping his commandments and his regulations that are written in this instruction scroll. And because you will have returned to the Lord your God with all your heart and all your being. This commandment that I'm giving you right now is definitely not too hard, too difficult for you. It isn't unreachable. It isn't up in heaven somewhere so that you have to ask who will go up for us to heaven and get it for us that we can hear it and do it. Nor is it across the ocean somewhere so that you have to ask who will cross the ocean for us and get it for us that we can hear it and do it. Not at all. The word is very close to you. It is in your mouth. And it is in your heart, waiting for you to do it. The second scripture is a familiar one from Luke 10. A legal expert stood up to test Jesus, saying, "Teacher, what must I do to gain eternal life?" And Jesus replied, "What is written in the law? How do you interpret it?" He responded, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." Jesus said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." But the legal expert wanted to prove that he was right, so he said to Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He encountered thieves who stripped him naked, beat him up, and left him near death. Now it just so happened that a priest was also going down the same road. When he saw the injured man, he crossed over to the other side of the road and went on his way. Likewise, a Levite came by that spot, saw the injured man, and crossed over to the other side of the road and went on his way. A Samaritan, who was on a journey, came to where the man was, but when he saw him, he was moved with compassion. The Samaritan went to him and bandaged his wounds, tending them with oil and wine. Then he placed the wounded man on his donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took 2 full days' worth of wages and gave them to the innkeeper. He said, 'Take care of him, and when I return, I will pay you back for any additional costs.' What do you think? Which one of these three was a neighbor to the man who encountered thieves?" The legal expert said, "The one who demonstrated mercy toward him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We know this story so well, don't we? Almost everyone knows this story, churchgoer or not, at least on the surface. There's so much depth to the parable that Jesus tells that it's hard to know where to begin. The question asked by the legal expert is a question that occupies our minds today, doesn't it? What must I do? The parable told is one that we can step into, even if we don't know which shoes to step into. The priest or the Levite? The Samaritan or the wounded man? In this passage is contained a summary of God's law and the answer to the question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? The legal expert, that is, an expert in the law of Moses, asks the question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? There are times when the Greek language and grammar can't be ignored, and this is one of those times. The word do that in the legal expert's question is a verb in the aorist form, meaning an action that can be completed. Not ongoing, not habitual, not repeated activity. In other words, the legal expert wants Jesus to give him something that he can check off a list and then inherit what is coming to him. He is asking, what must I get out of the way in order to live forever? How should I live my life? He's not asking, how should I live my life? Or what should be written on my heart? So who are you in this story? We all want to be the Samaritan, and sometimes we manage to resemble him, at least in small ways. But we know deep in our heart that sometimes, more often maybe, we are the priest or the Levite. We don't need to have an overly simplistic reading of Scripture, and neither did they, to have an excuse to cross over to the other side of the road. In fact, Jewish scholars think Christians paint an unfair and unflattering picture of Judaism when we theorize that the priest and the Levite cross over to avoid contact with an unclean body. Christian theology has all too often been done with an anti-Jewish interpretive perspective. Jewish law requires any Jew, and especially a priest or a Levite, to stop and give aid to an injured man, as well as to stop and bury a corpse should they find one. Priests and Levites would most certainly know the laws related to such things. But they did not stop. We don't know anything about the man that's left on the side of the road. We don't know if he is old or young, if he is a Jew or an immigrant to the land. We don't know what color he is or if he's rich or poor, if he's righteous or corrupt. It doesn't matter to God. Helping this man would take priority over everything, no matter who you are, priest or Levite, Israelite, or Samaritan. Whatever you were on your way to do is less important. The law doesn't excuse them from the duty because it is dangerous, or because it might cost too much, or because you might faint at the sight of blood. This is what you do if you are part of God's covenant, because this is what God has done for you and for your people. Blaming a ridiculously jealous reading of the law is not only wrong, I think it is unfair to the law of Moses. It may even be an overly sympathetic perspective on the priest and the Levite. All Israelites, including, of course, religious leaders, knew the command to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your being, and all your strength from Deuteronomy 6. And to love your neighbor as yourself from Leviticus 19. They just decided to cross to the other side of the road anyway. The priest and the Levite certainly didn't need the law to give them an excuse to cross over and abandon the man, and neither do we. Most of us today, Jew or Christian or Muslim or Buddhist or atheist, would lock our doors, pull over in our car, and at least call for help on our cell phone, right? That may be all we do, Anything else would endanger us. So let's give the priest and the Levite a break. They had no door to lock, no cell phone to call, no 911. I imagine the priest and the Levite share with us other obstacles to mercy. Poverty and violence were surely not any less overwhelming then than they are now. The law of Moses doesn't buy that as an excuse then or now. From Deuteronomy, there will never cease to be poor in the land. Therefore, I command you, you shall open wide your hand to your brother, to the needy, to the poor in your land. It can be hard to know what to do, though, can't it? It can be discouraging as we look upon the magnitude of the problems we face. Surely it was for the priest and the Levite and the Samaritan the same. I was once given this image that I love, maybe you've heard it, of a person standing by a river trying to clean out the refuge, and as she picked up a piece of rubbish, another 50 floated by her. And every time we pick up, we know how much we miss. But we are given these promises. We are a people with hope. Mercy is what the law and what Christ commands of us, and so the Spirit will equip us to do it. It is definitely not too difficult for us. It isn't unreachable. It is very close. It is in our mouth and in our heart waiting for us to do it. The Samaritan does it. The legal expert rightly identifies the one who showed mercy as the one who lived as a neighbor, the one who did what was written in the law. He did it not because it was easy or convenient or pleasant or safe, but because the commandment to love God and love your neighbor was written on his heart. Love is an action word. It is lived out. It is in the doing. The legal expert knew the law, but still asks, "What must I do?" Jesus gives his parable and then says, "Go and do likewise." And this is where the Greek I mentioned comes in. The word "do" that Jesus uses is in the imperative present active tense. There will not be a test. He is giving a command to show mercy and to keep showing mercy. Ongoing, habitual, repeated mercy. He's giving a command to live mercy. While the legal expert was looking for specific things to accomplish, Jesus was looking for a way of life. This is how you live. This is life, showing mercy today and every day until the end of time. It's not easy. It's often unpleasant. It requires a great deal of generosity. It's sometimes confusing and sometimes risky. When we ask ourselves, what must we do about poverty, about racism, about sexual abuse, about refugees and immigrants languishing in subhuman conditions, about illness and violence, I am reminded of that Inuit word that we learned back in Lent, Kritsalune, sitting together in the dark, waiting for something to happen. Way back with Abraham, God formed a people to live and serve together. A people formed into a nation that belongs to God, a people for whom the word is very close. It is in our mouths and in our hearts, just waiting for us to do it. We are called together still today, God's people following God's law, a law of which Christ not only reminds us, but lives for us, sacrificing everything out of compassion for all of humankind. In a society where so many situations requiring mercy have been delegated to our governments, Christians and people of all faith, for that matter, need to grapple with how to do mercy. Does calling 911 fulfill our responsibility? Governments do not have hearts. They reflect what is written on our hearts. What should we be doing as individuals, as communities of faith, as Christ's Church Universal, as citizens of this nation, as citizens of the world? We face the problems of our day. We live out God's law of love together as Christ's people. To live as Christ's people today and forever, this is what we do. This is how we live. How we act toward our neighbors, old and young, black and white and brown, Jew and Gentile, rich or poor, native or immigrant, righteous or corrupt. We live with compassion on our hearts and mercy in our action. This commandment is definitely not too difficult for us. It isn't unreachable. It's very close. It's in our mouth. It's in our heart. It's waiting for us to do it. Christ is waiting for all who call themselves by his name to do this and live. Then, in the words of Moses, everything will be great. Amen.